You can call it a cosmic emergency. This is Mike Luckman, and the show that you're listening to is an extraordinary show, really, that's been getting an amazing amount of attention. It's Radio Doomsday Live, and we are live, and you can call in if you have any questions for my guest. Let me give you the call-in number. It's 1-888-429-5471. I'll repeat that. The toll-free number to call in is 888-429-5471. My special guest tonight in just a few minutes is Sammy Aboud, who is the casting director for Pilgrim Films. They're an outfit that's out in California. It's one of the leading outfits in the entire country, perhaps in the world, for making reality TV shows. They really pioneered in it, and their latest project, which caught my attention, is called The Last Family on Earth. This is going to be aired on Spike Television in the fall, and I'm sure that it's already been getting an amazing amount of press. And speaking of press, Radio Doomsday Live has gotten an amazing amount of press within the last several days. A story came out on globalpost.com by a wonderful reporter by the name of Jenny Mark, who spoke about Radio Doomsday Live on the BBS station, number two, and how it's forecasting the end of the world. Well, that might be an oversimplification. I don't think it's the end of the world necessarily, but I do think that we had better get ready for whatever might come down, because a lot of stuff is coming down, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just reading here some of the latest news headlines just within the last several days or so. There is a freakish hailstorm that pummeled Dallas. 88,000 people without power in Houston. It just goes on and on. As I mentioned the last couple of weeks, birds falling from the sky by the hundreds of thousands, bees dying off by the millions, sea life, dolphins and fish washing up on the shores. This is not business as usual. Something really is terribly wrong. It defies our experience all the time, any of us who are alive today. And it's also important, I think, to get some perspective, not only what's happening with the Earth changes, but also the connection with extraterrestrials, because that's really essential to understand. Now, the Mayans, whose calendar has drawn an amazing amount of attention, and that calendar ends, by the way, on December 21st, 2012, for those who don't know it, which is a little more than 6 months from now. I remember when it was like several years from now. Now it's just 6 months from now. Is it going to be the end of the world? I don't think it's going to be the end of the world at all, not on that particular date. In fact, I don't even think necessarily anything of a physical nature is going to happen, but I do think there will be a great spiritual transformation, and I also feel, in fact, I'm certain, all you have to do is look at the day's headlines, that this deterioration that's happening with the environment, it's more than just, you know, man-made, and it's more than just the shape of the Earth and the various trials and tribulations that the Earth goes through that cause continents to be formed. But rather, this has to do with extraterrestrials and their role that they played in coming down here and basically jump-starting the human race. I know that's a lot to handle, that's a lot to swallow in one gulp, so I'm going to give it to you in a number of gulps. I also wanted to mention something about which I first mentioned last week about these amazing crystal skulls, life-size ancient crystal skulls that have been unearthed in Mexico. Now, something like six of them have now surfaced. In addition to the 12 that were brought from all over the world, I'm sorry, the 13 that were brought from all over the world for this event that I was very happy to promote called The Legend of the 13 Crystal Skulls here in New York a little over a year ago. And not only did four of those skulls change color, going from milky white to clear on the left side of the skull, a physical thing unmistakably, But also, UFOs were talked about at that conference, and the Mayans felt that their space gods would soon be returning. And I think that they are, and I think that they're from Planet X, which the Mayans have always believed in. I knew Zechariah Sitchin fairly well, who was the author of all these books about ancient astronauts and Planet X. He passed away about a year or two ago. And I was also very close with Tom Van Flynn, and the former chief astronomer for the U.S. Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. And Tom made the initial announcement about the discovery of Planet X. Now, why are we talking so much about Planet X? Well, because if what the Mayans had to say about Planet X coming around every 3,600 years is true, we know that that planet has an enormous effect on the Earth in many different ways. I would like to shift over to my guest for tonight's broadcast, Samaya Abood, who's a casting director for Pilgrim Films, on this new project that I just mentioned, Last Family on Earth. I'd like to welcome Samaya to the show.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Samaya. You know, it's amazing the earth changes that I've been talking about and that you'll be dealing in some fashion on your show, I'm sure, are just unmistakable. Unmistakable happenings, and they're happening with greater ferocity than ever before. Give my listeners just a sense of how this is going to work, this new program called Last Family on Earth. You're doing casting for it right now, I understand. What type of individual are you looking for to be part of this reality TV show, and what will they have to do, and what is the basic idea behind the show?
Well, that's a lot to talk about. You know, I can't go into too much detail, unfortunately, about what will go on in the show, being a competition show and all. But the basic idea, Last Family on Earth, it is a competition show, and there will be challenges that basically involve the ultimate worst-case scenarios. The show itself is a competition show for families who think they have what it takes to survive disaster, national disaster, worldwide disaster, something on a large scale. It could be nuclear war, terrorism, anarchy, a cataclysmic event of some kind, natural or not, whatever the case may be. And we're looking for pairs of people, immediate family members, husband, wife, father, son, mother, daughter, siblings, to represent their family on the show, and basically prove that they have what it takes to survive a disaster like this. So we'll have a panel of judges who, based on their fields, will be able to decide if the competitors are skilled, if they have the mental fortitude, and even if they don't come in with a lot of those things, if they can adapt quickly enough. Our competitors will be competing for a grand prize, which is a spot for up to 6 people in an underground shelter that's being provided by the Vivos Group. If you go to the website, I think it's terravivos.com, you can see what these shelters are all about. They call them luxury shelters. They're kind of like cruise ships, the way that they're built. It's pretty impressive looking.
Have you actually gone out to Vivos to look at that silo that's been getting all of this press?
My executives have. I have not physically been on the ground there, but our vice president of development was there 2 months ago, I think, and he was impressed by what he saw.
Well, that's great. Would you yourself, first of all, do you think that we're in any kind of a crisis that rises to the to the issue of whether or not we're close to the end of the world?
You know, that's a good question. Do I think that something huge is going to happen on December 21st? You know, I don't know if I personally believe that. I certainly do need... I personally have become a lot more concerned by everything I've seen in the news. And I don't know if you've been following all the supposed zombie attacks that have been happening around the country now. The CDC even had to come out with a statement saying that they're not aware of any kind of a germ or virus that would cause human flesh to reanimate. But the fact that people are even concerned that sort of thing could be real shows that there's a level of security issues here in the U.S. and that families really are concerned about what to do with their family. Am I just doing research for this family for this show?
Right.
I realize that I am so much less prepared than I need to be for anything that could happen.
Right.
I think that's probably the most important thing that I'm taking from this.
Okay. Do you yourself believe in the do you put any importance yourself in the Mayan calendar date of December 21st, 2012, which after all is only about 6 months away from now? Do you think anything particular is going to happen, whether it's a physical nature or spiritual nature? Or do you think that it's overblown hype and that we really don't have to be concerned about it, even in a positive way?
Well, no, I wouldn't say it's overblown hype. Yeah, I would say there might be some people who are overhyping it. However, I personally don't know when. It wouldn't surprise me if everything went to hell tomorrow. If everything went to hell December, or if it happened up to 300 years from now because of everything I'm seeing. I really don't know. I was an anthropology student at the University of Florida back in the 90s, and I spent 2 months in Mexico, and we studied the Mayan culture down there. And I spent some time in Tulum, and I spent some time over at Chichen Itza, studied a little bit about Quetzalcoatl and a bit of the mythology down there. And there was talk. There was talk about what exactly does it mean when the Mayan calendar ends December 21st, 2012. No one knew. You can assume, you can make predictions. I don't think I know enough about this, and I'm sure you know more than I. I don't believe it says that disaster will strike. It's just sort of the changing of the baktuns, as it were, that there is.
Yes.
It feels more like a spiritual change to me.
Right. Well, let me tell you what I found out. I've become fairly close with a man by the name of Hunbach Men, M-E-N, the last name. Hunbach is a solar priest. He's a Mayan elder. I met him among four Mayan elders that participated in this extraordinary event here at the FIT auditorium about a year or so ago, in which the 13 crystal skulls were brought together in a fulfillment of Mayan prophecy that would happen at a particular time where humanity stood at the crossroads. And the idea behind the skulls is that, according to Mayan legend, at least, those skulls are supposed to give us some kind of a direction, some kind of a signal, some type of communication. I know this sounds extraordinary, but that would point humanity in the right direction, and hopefully in a positive direction. So, but he also, I suspected, there was a journalist in me, because I have a journalism and PR background, there was a journalist in me who realized that there was much more to this. This story that the Mayan elders, I mean, the original idea was that people misidentified or misconstrued the meaning of the Mayan calendar, and that so-called end date, December 21st, 2012, that nothing physical would happen. Although the Reuters News Agency just conducted a poll, and 10% of the world population, according to this poll, think that on December 21st, it's all over. And that's nonsense. But
I read somewhere else that it was as high as 15%.
15% of people who feel that within their lifetime that they will live to see the end of the world. That's what they're saying. But even though the Mayans downplay this originally, they've opened up to me now. And what I've learned is this. What I've learned is that they really believe that the onslaught of physical disasters is going to be so profound due to one or more events, particularly the solar activity, which is very strong right now. It's going to be building through the 2013. So they're concerned about all of these things, and the solar, NASA, even though NASA calls the 2012 phenomenon a hoax, and the Mayan calendar thing it practically calls a hoax, and they really go out of their way to do this on the NASA.gov website. Still, the NASA scientists are the ones who are telling us that the sun, that the solar activity could plunge us back into the dark ages.
I agree. From what I've seen, the physical activity is there. There is reason to be alarmed. There are things happening this year alone that are so much different. These are outliers. And I guess scientists are saying, okay, they are outliers, but there's no reason to predict the end of the world or huge disaster on a particular day.
Right.
You see where the Mayan calendar ends, and you see it comes close to the end of this year after these occurrences, and you do have to wonder. I mean, I think any intelligent person needs to wonder about this sort of thing.
Yeah.
I wish I had a more definite answer, and you know a lot more stuff about this than I do. You have some answers, my friend. Please let me know.
Well, by the way, I'd like to give out that toll-free number again for anyone who would like to speak to Semi or myself, have any questions regarding this contest, which is part of a reality, an exciting new reality TV project called Last Family on Earth that's being produced by Pilgrim Films, and which is going to air in the fall on Spike Television. The phone number to call for Radio Doomsday Live is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. I want to shift gears for a minute, and then we're going to be coming back to Sam. I want to talk just briefly about the third secret of Fatima. This is the Vatican's most closely guarded secret. And that the third secret of Fatima has to do, of course, with the with what's happening right now. That information has been bottled up by the Vatican and kept secret for all of these years. And now I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the secret has to do with an object, a huge incoming object coming toward Earth in this general time period. I don't want to scare anyone, not December 21st, 2012, but in this general time period, in the window, so-called window of opportunity, is probably quite a number of years still, so it could be at any time. But coming toward us, and this may be this which is referred to in the Bible's book of Revelations as the Wormwood Comet. This may be what's mentioned in the Bible. And everything seems to correlate. I mean, it's eerie how much everything seems to come together from all of these cultures of the world. And we certainly don't want to throw away any of that information that has been passed down generation to generation by the Mayans, by the Babylonians, by the Egyptians, and other evidence that we have, which is of physical nature. I want to, by the way, my source for that information concerning the third secret of Fatima and this huge incoming object coming toward Earth, perhaps Planet X, or as the ancients called that planet Nibiru, having a great gravitational effect on the Earth and perhaps causing some of the very problems that we're experiencing right now, like earthquakes unlike we've ever had before. I want to get back to Semi and pick up again on the this new project that Pilgrim Films is doing, The Last Family on Earth. It sounds very exciting. I want to specifically talk about Vivos shelters, because the prize here is $50,000 worth of space in a silo. I guess it's in somewhere in the Midwest, a secret location. Where this giant survival shelter for, I guess, a small community is being set up. How real is this, and what will people have to do on your show in order to qualify to win that shelter?
So as far as the shelter goes, I think Robert Vivos has several shelters that he's building throughout the United States. I think it's Indiana, Wyoming, Nebraska, something like that. You'll have to go to his website to figure out where they are.
Yes. I've been there, by the way, and he's got some amazing, really great sketches, drawings, projections of what these things could look like. Some of them are very cushy-looking.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why he likens it to like a cruise ship, and not just in, you know, comfort and layout, but sort of the way the whole thing is set up. When you said it's up to $50,000. I think if you go to his website, there's sort of the economy shelters, which are large group shelters, which are much different from what we have. He's calling these luxury shelters. And the prize is for up to six people in your family. There's sort of little pods, bed pods, and then a living area and a kitchen area. But the whole thing comes together as a community.
How many people would actually be living in one of those silos?
You know, I don't know. With this particular one, you'd have to go on the website. Unfortunately, I don't have those details. And I want to say it's upwards of 200-300, I could say, but I don't want to speak out of term. The value that you're talking about of $50,000 could be up to a $50,000 value per person. That information is going to be on the website because it costs about that much to opt in. What you're basically doing is you're gaining shares in this shelter so that if emergency ever comes at any point, you can go there. And I think they have options for a helicopter to come and pick you and your family up and actually take you to the site. So it's not a shelter in that you can go and hang out there whenever you feel like it. Mm-hmm. The emergency comes, and it's there for you when it becomes necessary.
Isn't there, you know, I was interviewed by Global Post, and the story appeared yesterday, on the front page. I was amazed of the official NASDAQ stock exchange website, which shows you, just going back to what you said before, about how, you know, how important and how real this time period is in terms of these people are becoming much, much more aware of the problems that are facing us. And as I said before, not business as usual at all.
You were asking about how to apply for the show?
How can they become a contestant? Why don't you give out the information on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way to apply, and by the way, our deadline for application is this coming Wednesday, the 20th.
Wow.
It's coming up very soon. The best way is to email us at lastfamilycasting@gmail.com.
Right.
You can get more information on our website as well. It's pilgrimstudios.com. Just click on casting and you'll see the link to Last Family on Earth.
Right.
So email us, give us your name, the name of an immediate family member who you think can be your teammate. You know, this is someone you trust, someone who you think actually has some skills, someone who will actually have fun with you and can support you on the show. Send us photos of yourself.
I know you can't go into detail here, but give my listeners some idea of what kind of rigorous challenges might lie ahead for them. Do you have any idea at all on that?
Yeah, so the challenges are going to test your skills, your mental fortitude, your ability to persevere in the case of, you know, fill in the blank, a certain kind of worst-case scenario, whether it's a natural disaster or unnatural. You know, I can't tell you exactly what's going to take place in the challenges, but you can imagine that each challenge will be based on a different scenario, and our judges will be able to talk to you about survival skills you either have or don't have. They will be put into play.
I hear that those contestants will be literally cut off from their families, and that they will not be able to have direct communication for the other members of their families while this is going on. For how long are they going to be holed up in California while this is being?
Right, we're going to be filming from approximately August 4th through the 29th. It may actually be a little bit less than that, depending on the number of episodes we're shooting. But I think at the longest, it'll be the 4th through the 29th. And the reason they're cut off from their families and the rest of the world, this isn't unique. Survivor does it, Big Brother does it, Top Shot on the History Channel, it's another show that I cast for, they do that as well. We do that so that there's no commiseration with the outside world, no one's helping them with the game, no one's taking their mind out of the challenge,
but
they're focused on what they're doing, and then once they're out of the show, they get to go back home.
When do these contestants get paid, like, for doing the show? Is there any pay involved besides the payoff at the end for the actual winners?
You know, most competition shows don't have a pay at all, if you can believe that. People think that you come out here, you do the show, and the reason you're doing it is for the grand prize, and most competition shows are like that. With this show in particular, there is going to be a small stipend of, I think it's just a couple hundred dollars a week for each person that's on the show, something to help with bills back home and, right. and to help get you through the week. The point is, we want people who really want this prize, really want access to a shelter, really think this is a good idea, and want to prove that they and their family have the strength and fortitude to survive anything, that they'll stick it out and hopefully walk out with these six shares, access for their family to the shelter.
Okay. Now, there is a survival. I was planning to do a survival expo here in New York, but we were unable to get the funding so far. But there is one that's actually taking place in the summer or toward the summer in Las Vegas, a fairly large one, I believe. And the thing that concerns me about it, and I'm wondering how you guys are going to handle this, is the issue of guns. You know, we're, according to the Bill of Rights and stuff, we're certainly allowed to have guns under certain circumstances, but, you know, if things start to break down in any serious way, and there are food, you can't get food at the supermarkets, and you can't get water because that's not working because that happens on electricity and the power grid is down or whatever set of circumstances may be. What is your take, if any, on guns, and do they factor in people protecting themselves in that way? Does that factor into your show at all? Will people be, you know, practicing firearms, or is that not because I have a problem with that personally. But I'm the same, you know, I'm kind of torn because certainly people at some point would need to defend themselves.
You have a problem with the use of firearms on a show like this?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
I have a problem particularly. I'm not too crazy to deal with the fact that that firearms are going to be sold most likely on the floor of that convention hall in Las Vegas.
See.
But I'm also wondering how you handle the issue on your show.
Yeah, well, it's possible that firearms may factor into the show. And it's not that we or Spike or the production company are going to advocate gun violence or violence of any kind against other people. But if you're thinking of a situation where you might be in a survival situation and you have to hunt for your own food, you know, I would appeal to hunters and those sorts of people who have experience with firearms to apply for the show as well. That's a skill. That's a survival skill. So in terms of firearms for the show, it's very possible that hunting skills may be involved. You know, if we're at a point where food is not readily accessible in this country, and you have to go out there and grow your own food, hunt for your own food, a firearm would be helpful.
Tell us a little about some of the other shows that that Pilgrim Films does. I know that one of them is the Ghost Hunters, which many people have seen.
Mm-hmm. We do Ghost Hunters for Sci-Fi. We do Dirty Jobs for Discovery Channel with Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe is fantastic. We do American Chopper. We have the Ultimate Fighter franchise. And one of our more recent successes was Top Shot for the History Channel. That's speaking of guns, it's a marksmanship competition show that's doing very well. And once again, that's not a show that advocates violence in any way. It's marksmanship as a sport. And a lot of our folks come from the military. They come from police backgrounds. They come from all sorts of backgrounds all across the country.
I learned of the Last Family on Earth project, by the way, through the so-called official 2012 website. It's www.december212012.com. I highly recommend that anyone's interested in these subjects go there. And you'll find out anything you want, anything and everything you want to know about Planet X, possible pole shift, the solar problems, and the background of the Mayans and other cultures of the world, and how they feel about these particular times referred to in the Bible as the end times. Let me give you out that number once again. It's 888 429 5471. If you'd like to call in, it's 888-429-5471. Okay, we have about 25 minutes or so left. I'm not going to hold you too long, Semi, but is there anything else that you wanted to say relative to this show that you're putting together?
Yeah, you know, I just like to appeal to anyone who's thinking about applying for the show. We're definitely looking for skilled people. I think that's one of the fun parts of the show.
Right.
The idea being that someone who would work well can contribute something to a community of survivors in case something ever, you know, God forbid, happens here. That it, you could be a doctor, you could be a teacher, a writer, a farmer, a mechanic, a chef, or even an artist. Everyone has something to contribute, and I think those skills will actually lend to the challenges on the show and also prove that what you do is going to be beneficial to a community. I'm also looking for competitive people. This is still a competition.
Right.
We're looking for good, solid families who can support each other, and more importantly, who are concerned about their family's safety and security. You know, because you're not just competing for a trophy. You're competing for access to a pretty impressive-looking shelter, which will be accessible to you the minute you win the show.
Right, right. Is there any kind of physical examination that people are going to need to undergo before they join in this? Because it sounds pretty strenuous.
Yeah, well, I don't know how strenuous this is going to be. The challenge is, like I said, I can't really tell you what they're going to be, but I don't think it's necessarily going to be a lot of, you know, hanging upside down and crazy stuff like that. There may be some physical stuff going on. But yes, what we have is a finals casting process that we do for every competition show. It doesn't matter if it's a Big Brother or The Bachelor. We do like a basic physical test. We actually do a psychological test as well. Very simple stuff just to make sure for the safety and security of everyone involved that we've gotten some good, solid people for the show.
How many pairs of individuals have you cast so far for the show?
I cannot say. You're prying for information, sir, and I cannot say.
Okay, but so you're still looking for more people to
absolutely.
To sign on.
Yeah, well, the final cast has not been solidified yet. That's why the application deadline is open until Wednesday. We're still considering everyone. And then a week or so after that deadline, I sit down with folks at Spike. I show them all the people who I think would be good for the show. They choose a bunch of finalists, and then we fly the finalists, 25 pairs of people, out to Los Angeles for about 4 or 5 days. And during that time, they meet me. They meet the producers. They do the brief physical test. And by physical test, I mean just like this little physical examination with a doctor. We're not having you jump through hoops or anything like that. You don't have to be Superman to be on the show. And then based on the meet and greet and everything that goes on there, we choose who gets on the show.
Okay. Can you give out a phone number where people can call, if both email and phone number?
Yes. Well, the email definitely is, it's lastfamilycasting@gmail.com. And we had a casting hotline. I don't know if it's still open at the moment, but the email is absolutely the fastest way to get a hold of us. And I've got four producers standing by. Every couple of hours, they're checking that email, and they start processing it right away.
It sounds great. Well, I wish you the best of luck with the project, and we'll certainly be looking in on this. I've seen, you know, before I let you go, I gotta say this. I've seen some of the press releases that have come out in conjunction with with this new project by Pilgrim Films. And what impresses me is that you guys sincerely seem to be respectful of the contestants. That's not always
having to do with this
doomsday scenario.
Absolutely. You know, Mike, I've been casting in Los Angeles since 2003, and I've done all kinds of shows freelance, you know, not even with Pilgrim. I started off doing The Real World on MTV. I've done Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I've done America's Got Talent. I've done all those shows before I landed with Pilgrim. But I've been with Pilgrim for almost 5 years now, and I have to say the reason I've stayed with them is because of the quality of their work and the respect they have for their contestants.
Okay. I've got on the line Alexander from Glendale, California. Alexander, how you doing?
Good, good, good. I'm on the air?
Yes. What is your question?
Quick question. Okay, listen, I've been hearing a lot about Planet X. I was wondering, where is it at exactly right now?
We don't know where it is, but I got it. I'll say this, as I pointed out last week, there's a really very, very interesting photograph that was taken by an airline passenger over Melbourne, Australia, just about a week or so ago. And that shows what purports to be the entire Planet X system. That is more than one body, but several bodies, companion stars, along with Planet X. And it happens the relative size and shapes of these objects matches precisely a crop circle. Now, I know that the design of the crop circle, I know that not everyone is into crop circles, and a lot of people think that many of the crop circles, and it's true, many of the crop circles have been hoaxed, but the important thing when you look at the crop circle phenomenon is that the crop circles, many of them, of the what we feel are the legitimate ones, and it is rather hard to tell, but the ones that we feel are the legitimate ones, show symbols connected with Planet X or Nibiru. And that's like, you know, that's really a mind bender. And why would anybody from this planet, like, you know, go to such great lengths to not only create the crop circles, but specifically reference the Planet X and Nibiru thesis. Thanks very much for calling in, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. So my guest has been Semi Abood, the casting director for Pilgrim's Films' Last Family on Earth series, which is a new reality TV show that's starting this fall on Spike TV. And I want to move on now and talk about the 2012 website, which Don Kane runs. He's really been very helpful to supporting Radio Doomsday Live, running stories about it on his website. But more important than that, John has really done a first-rate job in assembling the best available information on the subject, and his archives is absolutely first-rate and essential reading for anyone who's serious about all of these physical changes that are happening here on the planet. I forgot to give you my sources on the Fatima, my statement about Fatima, because it is a controversial statement. The Catholic Church, as I said, it's the Vatican's most carefully guarded secret. They will not let it out for no one. And but I found out through Malachy Martin, Father Malachy Martin, who is a demonologist actually for the Catholic Church and very close to several of the popes. Well, Malachy Martin has said that, and he apparently was murdered, and I don't believe necessarily that it was connection with Planet X, but he said that Malachy Martin said that there would be a body coming in from space, and that body would be, and that he had the privilege of seeing that secret, and he was very close with the current Pope and also with Pope John Paul II, and that body would obliterate a very large segment of the human race. Pope John Paul II himself said something similar, that if he was asked by some pilgrims when he was visiting Fatima, Portugal, where this amazing miracle took place all the way back in 1917, which I believe essentially was a UFO or a set of UFO events. But the message was that he said that the reason the Catholic Church wouldn't put this information out was that from one moment to the next, millions upon millions of people would drown or would die as a result of massive flooding, that it wouldn't serve any good purpose for people to be told about this. Now, there, as I have pointed out before, there are two schools of thought. I mean, there are people who, like my late mother, who didn't want to hear about this stuff. It scared them, and they would rather not know. And then there are people who believe, as Vigos Shelters believes, and as the people at Pilgrim's Films believe with their new reality TV show, Last Family on Earth, that it's better to be prepared than to, wait, let the you-know-what hit the fan and everyone be caught unprepared. As I said, if a solar flare comes in our direction, they usually go in the opposite direction, away from Earth. But if they come toward Earth, and they have recently been coming toward Earth, and NASA scientists are on record as saying, and NASA officially has said, despite not believing in the 2012 phenomenon, NASA has said that this could cause the power grid to go down, and people may not understand what the power grid is. Some people do, and some people really don't have any idea what the power grid is. The power grid is everything, ladies and gentlemen. It's transportation. It's distribution of food. It's trucking. It's communications, distribution of medicine. If that goes, we're literally plunged back into the dark ages, and it's every man for himself and every woman for herself and every child for themselves. We need to prepare, and we need to prepare while there's still some time left to do it. I don't say the world's going to come to an end in 2012. Actually, I don't think the world's going to come to an end at all. I think the Earth will still be spinning around. It's been spinning around a very long time. But how much of the population will survive? Only the ones who will survive will only be the ones who prepare to survive. And food, you know, stockpiling food and water is as basic as ABC. And it needs to be done, or people will pay the price for refusing to pay attention to this very urgent situation. Let me give out the number again for the show. It's 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. Let me apologize for my the sound of my voice. I have a little laryngitis tonight. I've been interviewed by quite a number of news organizations, and the biggest surprise of all, was the story that appears on the front page of the NASDAQ Stock Exchange website. It just goes to show you how people are knowledgeable and or concerned about what some of the things that are going down. And I know not everyone's reading and viewing that video report by GlobalPost.com on the NASDAQ website are going to believe it. They're not all going to buy it hook, line, and sinker. But, you know, there are enough people who do believe in this to make a significant difference. And it's a matter of basic survival. So we need to prepare. We need to do it now. And it's not a simple situation. People's financial circumstances very much factors into all of this, and you know, people aren't always that as mobile as they might like to be otherwise, because certainly going to high elevations in the central part of the country is the way to go. Being in a coastal city like New York City as I am, you're really taking a chance, and frankly, if you need to leave because the water levels are rising at the last minute, there won't be any way to get out of town because all of the bridges and tunnels will be clogged with millions upon millions of people. I think 8 million people now live in New York City. So we have to look at this thing from a very real perspective. It's not science fiction. It's not a hoax. NASA's lied to us constantly about one of the biggest stories of all time, which is not only the existence of Planet X, but the existence of extraterrestrials who are knocking on our doorstep right now. There are at least 5,000 cases of UFOs of signaling where people have used devices as crude as flashlights and as sophisticated as lasers to get the attention of UFOs all over the world, And those UFOs have sent back signals of response to the signaling done by human beings. So we're at a very, very interesting point in history. This isn't normal times. It is going to be quite rough, but you know, it's time for the people who consider themselves the chosen ones, which is you and I, everyone listening to this show, hopefully, to join forces, to get together, and to do what they can to try to put things into place where survival will be possible. I want to give out the phone number again. It's 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. We have a few more minutes left in the show. I mentioned at the beginning of the show about the crystal skulls and new ones that have been unearthed. It's about six crystal skulls, and the guy... there's a guy... What? There's a guy by the name of Ken Morgan, who was one of the producers of the Crystal Skull event that took place last year in New York, and he just came back from Mexico, and he tells me, maybe we'll have him on the show soon, that there's an effort that a museum in Mexico is planning to create some kind of a tour. It's possible that I might be helping to put that tour together, or putting that tour together, for the crystal skulls to go on display in world capitals, including and also in New York City. So those crystal skulls really caught people's imagination here in New York City, and people equate, unfortunately, a lot of people equate skulls just with death. And they don't look at them certainly the way that the Mayans look at them. And so more study and more knowledge needs to be gained from contact with the crystal skulls. I'm sorry, my voice is giving out, but I'm going to stay to the end of the show, which is in about 7 minutes or so. And if you have any questions, I'm at 888-429-5471. This is Mike Luckman, and you're listening to Radio Doomsday Live. Okay. There's a guy by the name of Maitreya who some people think is the Antichrist. There's a fellow in England, very distinguished-looking gentleman with gray hair, by the name of Benjamin Krem, who's done a lot of television appearances all over the world, including in the United States, and has done public appearances as well. And he claims that this Maitreya character, who's a bearded guy, is the Christ. He's not saying he's the Antichrist. He's saying he's the Christ, and he showed up in Kenya some years ago and was performing all kinds of miracles. And he was photographed there, newspaper photographs, showing this very tall-looking gentleman there, in Kenya. I see that Semi is still on with us. Semi, do you have any thoughts about any of the things that we were just talking about?
It's actually fascinating just listening about this, listening to this stuff. I wish I knew more, to be completely honest. I don't know much about Planet X.
Right.
And Planet X is actually fascinating to me. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just very interesting how the information that is leaked out about Planet X and the Vatican's third secret of Fatima, Nostradamus' warnings about a comet, all coming in this general time period. And admittedly, I mean, we're not necessarily talking about 2012. It could be 2013 or 2014, and who God knows when it might be, but it's obvious that something is disturbing the planet, and it's not just the normal state of affairs for us. There's been nothing that comes even close in our lifetime to these kinds of upheavals. The earthquake activity, if you go on the internet, you'll see that the earthquake activity has continued to rise at an unprecedented level. I am extremely concerned also about the Fukushima nuclear meltdown in Japan, as are, of course, many millions of Japanese, many of whom have been taking refuge here in the United States, and I see more and more of them here in New York City. That problem has not been put to rest. That's not a case of putting an end to the meltdown. That meltdown is continuing in some fashion and threatens to go to deeply penetrate the Earth and cause the ultimate nuclear nightmare. I don't want to scare anyone, but people need to be aware that low levels of radiation have already been found in bluefin tuna that has been found off the coast of California, and there's this massive debris from Fukushima, from the nuclear disaster, and specifically from the tsunami that occurred up there, down there, and this stuff occupies water as big as the state of California. That is on its way toward California from Alaska. We got to be very, very, very concerned about this. I mean, first of all, the Japanese government is absolutely stonewalling this and not telling the citizens of Japan the truth about any of this. The truth is very frightening, but it's very real. And people need to know about it while they can still do something about it. I mean, it's one of the most frightening things I can imagine. I will continue to talk about Fukushima, the nuclear meltdown, and if you're interested in getting more detail on that, I highly recommend the website, Jeff Rentz's website, Rentz.com, because he has headlines and links for the latest stories on an almost daily basis when it comes to Fukushima. So there are all kinds of developments that are happening having to do with at least low levels of radiation that could become higher levels of radiation, and the public needs to be aware of this. Let's see. Before we close the show, I'd like to give out that phone number again. Please tell your friends about Radio Doomsday Live. We're on live every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Time, 12 midnight Eastern Time. And the phone number for people who want to do call-ins is 888-429-5471. That's 888, mark it down, 429-5471. This is Mike Luckman signing off for Radio Doomsday Live. Until next time, if there's a next time.